Nearly one in three homeless veterans calling a Veterans Affairs help hotline was sent to voicemail in fiscal 2013. That's just one of the issues uncovered in an Inspector General's report on the VA National Call Center for Homeless Veterans. The VA has pledged to make changes to the call center, but as the temperatures dip, what other challenges lie ahead in supporting homeless vets? Bailey Crone is the executive director at the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. She joins me now with the latest on these problems and details her testimony for the House Veterans Affairs Committee. Bailey, good morning.
Good morning. Thank you for having me here.
All right. So the administration has vowed to end homelessness among veterans, I guess, by now. Where do we stand in relation to that goal in the first place?
Well, we're getting close, and the target now is the end of 2015. So we've got a little bit more time, but we've made significant progress. Right now, as of the 2014 point in time count, which was actually conducted last January, the number of veterans who are experiencing homelessness was around 49,000 on that given night. So that's a 33% decline since 2009, which is pretty significant. So we're making progress. We're not quite there yet.
All right. Give us an idea of the number of organizations that are helping here. There's at least two federal agencies plus your group. Tell us how they all work together.
Right. So the U.S. Interagency Council on Homelessness actually is a large collaborative body of several agencies beyond just VA, HUD, and Department of Labor. There are several agencies that each have a small slice of contributing to ending veteran homelessness. But the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans, where I work, represents about 2,100 community organizations all across the country. And those are really the front lines. Those are the organizations that are doing outreach into the streets, doing outreach into the shelters, going and making contact with veterans. A lot of them receive funding through the federal agencies, but not all of them do. But we're working closely with those organizations and the federal agencies to help veterans get back into housing and stay stable.
And so I imagine this is the time of year when some of the urgency picks up because it is getting cold.
This is a really difficult time of year. This is when those community organizations that they really do an awful lot with very little resourcing, they're in charge often of having the winter shelters, so they set up these winter shelters, and it takes quite a bit of funding to maintain those, so they run on pretty strapped budgets.
All right, so let's talk about that call center for a moment, because this got a pretty tough report from the IG.
It did, yes.
Including the fact that a lot of people went to voicemail or they couldn't get to someone directly from the VA. And I guess my first question is, what is the means by which the average homeless veteran actually phones the VA? A payphone?
That I'm not sure of. But what we did find with this report, let me just say, we were extremely disappointed when we read this report. This call center should be doing better for veterans. Looking at the VA's recommendations for how they're going to address some of these issues, we're optimistic and we're going to watch that closely. But I just have to say that up front, that we were very, very disappointed. Any veteran who's calling in, whether they're calling from a payphone, whether they're calling from a community center, whether they are using their own cell phone, they should never be going to a voicemail, no matter how they're trying to access the system.
Yeah, 21,200 veterans, or 27% of the callers, had to leave a message on the call center's answering machine. Does your group, the coalition, have access to those voicemails? I mean, does the VA reach out to anyone and say, look at all these messages, can somebody help us with these?
You know what? No, they didn't. A lot of the veterans who might be accessing this system are the same veterans that would be coming into contact with our providers all across the country. So we're pretty hopeful that veterans who are seeking assistance, if they called and were unable to get connected to services through the call center, that they were able to go to a community center or get connected to one of our organizations. We hope that that's the case.
All right. We're speaking with Bailey Crone. She's executive director of the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. And another finding is that 16% of the calling in veterans could not be referred to a VA medical facility because their voicemail messages were inaudible or lacked contact information. And, of course, you can understand why there's no contact information if they don't have a home. They probably don't have a landline. But what about this idea that they don't get into a medical facility, which would even possibly be a more pressing issue than the homeless issue?
Right. That figure in particular is really upsetting, that 13,000 individuals who contacted and were unable to be followed up with. Like I mentioned before, we're hoping that they still were able to go and access services, but that's 13,000 people who reached out for care and were unable to be connected to that. They shouldn't be going to an answering machine. A queue system seems like a reasonable way for the VA to address this issue. So someone might have to wait a couple of minutes before they talk to a counselor, but then they're definitely going to be on the phone with a person before they hang up the phone. And that's the real key, whether someone's reaching out for medical care because they're suicidal, because they're homeless, they shouldn't have to go to a voicemail.
And one of the other senses I got from the report is that even when referrals were made, like go to 5th and Main Street or whatever it is for the shelter, there was not any real follow-up by the VA to see if that actually happened. And so my question is, can other organizations follow up here and make sure that what the VA recommends to a particular homeless veteran actually does occur and that person gets the services the VA recommended?
Yeah, I think that they're going to be, from my reading of the recommendations, it looks like they're going to be looking at the documentation process much more closely. The way that the results are being documented before, it was really unclear whether someone was actually referred to a medical center and what kind of care they received after they went to the medical center. Those processes might have been happening, they just weren't documented, and that's the real challenge. So it looks like there will be that focus on them. And when they are referred to the medical center, it's highly likely that they'll be directed back to community resources that'll be able to assist them, whether it's with housing or with other services, depending on what their needs are.
So if they get a shot they might need or a dose of medicine they might need when they walk out of the VA facility that administered that dose, then they're back on their own?
No, the community organizations work really closely with their VISN, which is the Integrated Service Network. So the organizations will have that in reach into the medical center. If someone comes in and they're screened and it's found that that person is homeless or that they're at high risk of homelessness, they should be being referred out to the community agency that can best meet their needs. Of course, it's not going to work perfectly everywhere, but it works pretty well in most places across the country.
Because you mentioned earlier, there's this network of all these agencies and groups outside of the government that help this whole issue. It seems like there should be no veteran that actually falls totally between the cracks, given all those overlapping organizations.
You would hope so. Some of the veterans who are on the streets now have been on the streets since after Vietnam. So you have veterans who do fall through the cracks. That does happen. We're doing everything we can so the system is set up now so no one who is at high risk will fall into homelessness. Occasionally that will happen, but what matters now is that the infrastructure is in place so those individuals can be rapidly connected to and moved into housing. That's part of the philosophy behind Housing First, which is being implemented in all of these programs. Quickly move people into permanent housing and then help them address what their major barriers are at that point.
Now, identifying those that are in need of these services, especially housing, involves, as you mentioned earlier, and I've heard other presentations from VA and HUD on this, that you literally go to the streets and count heads and talk to people one by one, correct?
Yeah, it's a matter of knowing the individuals in your community. It's not about numbers. I said in my testimony last week that we don't have a homeless veteran population. We have individual veterans who have very specific needs. So what matters is not going out and counting heads. Yes, that's useful for figuring out how to distribute resources, but it's a matter of going out and knowing each individual, knowing what their barriers are, knowing what makes them uncomfortable and the reason why they haven't connected to care. Several of your older veterans from the Vietnam era who are out on the streets may have a distrust of established networks, and you have to spend a lot of time building up that trust before they'll be willing to come into your system. So you need to be out there in the community talking to people and knowing what their needs are before expecting them to come in and engage in services.
So to the average passerby, someone who might be just that that old guy with a shopping cart or someone wrapped up in a bunch of blankets in a doorway, to somebody, that person is a known individual that understands what their problems and requirements are.
Yeah, you know, if you do see that person, especially this time of year, you want to be sure that maybe you give them the contact information for a winter shelter that's in the area. A lot of communities have those. But the hope is that if a veteran is out on the street, that someone within the community knows that person and is doing everything they can to help get them connected to resources. We've got some great outreach workers all across the country, a lot of whom were actually formerly homeless veterans who can get out there and they know what to say to try to get someone engaged in services.
And getting back to the call center, mm-hmm. what has your communication been with VA over this, and what do you expect to happen over the next couple of months to get after that, the issues there?
Well, we've expressed what I've mentioned today, that we're extremely disappointed, and we've also let the VA know that we're going to be watching the implementation of these recommendations very closely. The target set dates seem reasonable. We wish that the queue was set up immediately. If there's any way to make that happen faster than fast, that would be ideal. But we're going to be watching each one of these steps to make sure that they happen so that the call center can be running effectively. It's one piece of our overall outreach toolbox, but it's an essential one, so it needs to be functioning at full capacity, especially right now.
Just wanted to ask you, too, locally in the Washington area, Washington, D.C., that is, what's the veterans homeless situation like?
You know, we've made significant progress in D.C. D.C. is actually one of the cities that's involved in a major initiative to try to rapidly end veteran homelessness. It's a challenge, especially because it does get cold here, but we do have some good winter shelters. There's also some phenomenal programs that are operating in D.C., and if anyone ever wants to get involved in those, they can just give us a call, and we can get you connected if you want to, you know, volunteer time or donate resources. There's some amazing organizations here, and very close coordination with the VA here.
And what about the surrounding counties, Montgomery, Fairfax, Prince George's, Arlington?
You know, Arlington does not have the same level of resourcing. The problem isn't as significant in Arlington as it is in Washington, D.C. We have a pretty high homeless veteran population here. The surrounding counties in Maryland, especially as you get up to Baltimore, have really significant challenges. Some of the major issues that veterans are facing in all three of those areas are really high rental costs. Anyone who lives here knows that. Really high rental costs and difficulty connecting to gainful employment. For a lot of folks, the challenge isn't finding housing opportunities, it's being able to pay for it. So a lot of veterans are having trouble getting back up on their feet once they fall into homelessness or are at high risk because there really aren't jobs that are available to them. And that's for all counties and across the country.
Well, let's hope we can get them all in out of the cold before it gets too cold. Bailey Crone is the executive director at the National Coalition for Homeless Veterans. Thanks so much for joining me.
Thank you so much.